Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We'll look at the Word in just a moment, but before we do, let us bow our heads together and ask God to help us today in all the things we need to do and in our understanding of the Word as well. Our God, we do thank you today for the opportunity which is ours to look into the Word once again. And we ask that thou would open this portion of the Word, we might clearly understand where we are and what message we are to believe and what instruction we are to follow. Meet each need of each waiting heart today, as thou dost recognize individual needs to be, and we'll give thee all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We think with you today about the message of John the Baptizer. What was John's message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. We talk to you about the need for repentance in the light of the fact that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. We said that part of the message was a message peculiar to John the Baptizer. Repent, because Jesus is about to come and establish his kingdom. Well, we know that Jesus Christ did not come and establish his kingdom, so it would follow that evidently the nation did not repent of their sin, but there were individuals within the kingdom who did. And because John's message was addressed not only to nations, but to individuals, he proclaimed a message that is often misunderstood today. And that message, of course, is included in the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter, the third verse, where he said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin." Now, here again, we must tread very softly. The message which John the Baptizer preached was taken up by the disciples of the Lord Jesus and proclaimed before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. It was taken up by the apostles after the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaimed to the nation of Israel. After that, it was never proclaimed, and any individual or group who proclaims the message, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins," is operating under the old economy and has forgotten the provisions of the new covenant. The message, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins," has nothing at all to do with the new covenant, which includes salvation by faith alone in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, without any personal effort of any kind. Now, to understand John's message, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins," I think it's necessary for us to have some idea of what the word "remission" actually means. I suggest that it is the translation of the Greek word "aphesis," which means to send away. So when we talk about the remission of sins, we're talking about sending them away. Now, this probably won't have a great deal of significance for you, but remember, this was a message that John the Baptist was preaching to the Jews, and it had a great deal of significance to them. As soon as John the Baptizer spoke to them about the remission of sins, as soon as he spoke to them about sending away sins, immediately there came to their minds an Old Testament practice. Beautiful story it is. Two goats were brought to the tabernacle. The priest put his hand on one goat, confessing the sins of the individual worshiper, putting that goat upon the altar and slaying it, that the blood might be given for an atonement for sin. He placed his hands on the head of the other goat and confessed the sins and sent that goat away into the wilderness. It was called a scapegoat. Sins were carried away, never to be remembered again forever. My, what a beautiful thought. That's what God does with our sins. He does not remember them against us anymore, forever. Sins were carried away on that goat that was turned loose in the wilderness, never to be remembered again. And John the Baptizer, in speaking of remission of sins, was talking about sending away sin. And he was saying to all the individuals who heard him, "Repent, change your mind about the way you've been living, come forth and be baptized on account of the fact that your sins have been sent away, never to be remembered forever. This word remission is translated by the word deliverance and by the word liberty in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where the Lord Jesus Christ stood in the synagogue and read from chapter 38 of the book of Isaiah, and then said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Because there is confusion about the message which John the Baptist preached, I would like for you to look with me at two very small Greek words which make all the difference in the world in John's message. Notice the word for the remission of sins. It is the translation of the Greek word eis, E-I-S, which may be translated by the phrase on account of. Why were people baptized in John's day? They were baptized on account of the fact that their sins were forgiven, and not in order for their sins to be forgiven. And if individuals do not want to rightly divide the word of truth and take passages of Scripture such as Acts 2:38 and say it applies to the people of this age in the interest of making baptism essential to salvation, we must say, in the interest of accurate exegesis, they should teach that individuals are baptized on account of the fact that their sins are forgiven, and not in order to wash away their sins. Now, remember, John's message was related to the kingdom of heaven. "Repent," he said, "for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, that English word for, keep in mind we're talking about two different things. Repent for, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That word for is a translation of the Greek word eis, which means on account of. But when he preached his message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," that English word for is the translation of the Greek word gar, G-A-R, which is also translated because. What he was saying is, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is ready. Repent, because the king is ready to come and establish his throne. As I said to you, obviously the kingdom was ready, but the people were not ready. And unthinking men might say, then God failed, didn't they? And his plan was not fulfilled at all. We answer that with the interesting words of the Apostle John in the first chapter of the Gospel, which bears his name. We're speaking of the Apostle John now, not John the Baptizer. Notice in John chapter 1, verse 11, "He," Christ, "came unto his own, and his own received him not." His own represents the nation of Israel. His own received him not. His nation did not receive him. They crucified him. But, we read in the next verse, "As many as received him, as many in the nation as received him, for many of the nation did receive him, as many as received him, in the nation and out of the nation, to give to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The nation at that particular time, in the days of John the Baptizer, was not ready for the reception of the king. And so he said, "Though the nation will not have me as king, any individual who will have me may have me. Any individual who receives me, any individual who believes on my name, I will give him the authority, I will give him the power to be called a child of God." My dear friend, will you listen closely to the message today? As of this moment, the nation of Israel rejected their Lord. The vast majority of the world has rejected him and is rejecting him. But as of this moment, any individual who will receive him will receive eternal life. Any individual who will receive him by believing on his name, that is, believing that he died for their sins, will be a member of the kingdom of God. And I ask you a very pointed question today, and that question is, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've not received him, let me encourage you to receive him even today. Now, there is a parallel passage of Scripture of which I'm always reminded. When I read here in the Gospel of John, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And that passage of Scripture is found in the book of the Revelation, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. The words of the Lord Jesus, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he will have the opportunity of supping with me." Now, as I have said to you at other times, this verse has been used by many faithful workers of God to bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ, and particularly little children. Open the door, Jesus is knocking, and Jesus will come in. Well, that's true. He will come in, but actually, that verse is not referring to the unsaved. It's referring to his own people. Yes, those who are called his own because they received him as Savior, something happened. They've departed from their first love. They're not interested in him like they once were. They're interested in many other things. And so the vast majority of the kingdom of God, if you please, have turned away from him, and he knocks on the door of individual hearts and says, even though the vast majority of the kingdom, the vast majority of the church doesn't want me, I will sup with any individual who will open his heart's door and invite me in. I trust that you will invite him in to your heart for fellowship today.